Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Uncommon Podcast, a podcast about two creatives and their unusual journey. I'm Alejandro Mejías, and next to me, as always, is Oliver Muñoz. In today's episode, we're going to talk about going from a co-working space to working remotely. We're going to debate which one's better, and maybe we'll make a decision. This is also the last episode of the first season. Oliver, buenos dias. How are you?
Hey, man. Good. How are you going? Sorry about that late intro.
That's all right. We had some technical difficulties, but...
No, they were not difficulties. It was just... I don't know what I was
doing. you were not prepared.
Yeah, I'm not ready to be a DJ or producer. You know, they're always... The real ones, they're like mixing and matching, and then they're with the crowd.
Yeah, yeah, they're doing everything.
Here it's just you and me. All I have to do is press unmute myself, and I can't do that.
That's all right. It's part of the learning. Hey, we've been doing this for only, what, a month? A little bit over a month.
Yeah, I was looking at the schedule yesterday, or schedule if you are the UK. And I got funny about that. I remember I was working on this project, and there were two people there that one of them was referring to the schedule as schedule, and somebody else was saying schedule.
Yeah.
They're both correct.
Yeah.
But then this other designer who was meant to design the schedule,
yeah,
he came after the meeting and then asked one of the girls, like, so does that mean I need to do two things? I thought it was hilarious. And then
that's a clever joke.
Yeah. Does that mean I have to think? And he was in he speaks English, but he was Spanish speaker. And she was like, oh, that's so cute. No, we're talking about the same thing, we're just saying different ways.
So she actually didn't know
what
that they were two different, like that it was the same thing, and she actually thought that was two different things.
Yeah.
She literally thought that she had to do two jobs.
It was very confusing, yeah.
Oh, I thought she was like just joking.
No, it was like a legit question. Yeah.
That's good.
But yeah, I was looking at our schedule and yeah, we started recording it like a month ago or something like that.
Yeah, it's been, just over a month, and you know, you've been DJing the whole time, man. So kudos to you.
Yeah, man. DJ La Cucaracha, mixing live.
But today, man, like maybe I was going to say, maybe you are nervous because it's the last episode.
I'm excited about the full circle we've gone here. How are you doing with those lollies there?
I don't know, man. I was going to eat one.
Go for it.
I better not. No.
We can do some ASMR. You know, unwrap them and then chew them.
That's it. No, but I was going to it and then I realized I'm making too much extra noise. Let's talk about today's topic. Working from remotely or working from an office.
Yeah. So when you and I started, we mentioned this before, but just a quick recap from the last time we talked about this. We looked at a co-working space and then we were both happy with it and then we moved in.
Right? Something that we talked about earlier in the season as well.
Correct. And then as anyone in Melbourne experienced, we were in and out of lockdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one was pretty harsh for about, what was it, like 3 months maybe?
This last one. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
It was like 3 months, yeah.
Yep.
Excuse me. And we were thinking that...
I kind of lost track, but yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you did. You thought we were doing this in 2021. Oh, no, 2020.
I lost track of the last 2 years.
Yeah,
literally.
We were talking about it. You were like 2020. I was like, no, man, that was like this year. You're like, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
Yeah, and then we went remote.
That's it. Well, that's the thing, because we started here earlier this year at the co-working space. Mm-hmm. We did about 4 months of... I was hot desking and you had your...
I was just next to you.
Yeah. You know. We both had our own sort of...
Our setup.
And then what happened was we had to go into lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... And I remember one... So there were... I'm just going to do a quick recap of this because it was funny back then. And do you know how between lockdown 5 and 6, there was a week where... Maybe, I don't know if you were traveling or not, but there was a week.
Yeah.
So everyone came back from lockdown 5. No, everyone went from coming back, came back from lockdown 4. And then lockdown 5 happened. And I said something like, oh, yeah, I'll see you guys in like 3 weeks or something like that.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
And then one of those lockdowns, it was like they say it was 2 weeks, actually it happened in 3 weeks. And then we came back. And then the last one was like, all right, we're going to do it for 2 weeks. And I joked about it again. I said, oh, I reckon this is going to be like 4 weeks. I mean, it turned out to be like 4 months, almost.
I remember vaguely being here in the office after the first lockdown or something, and then just coming back maybe for a week, something like that. Maybe I might have been here for a few days.
Probably,
I think I saw some people on the Friday, and it was like literally, hey, how you been? You know, it's just like a quick catch up, and then we went back into lockdown, and I haven't seen them since.
Yeah. But all the systems you and I had were online, right?
Well, because I think even prior to this whole situation, we were already dealing with remote clients. Like, you know, we already had our own sort of projects going on and not necessarily, you know, where they were face-to-face projects or anything like that. So I think, like in terms of the tools and the things we were using our systems, we were already kind of prepared for it.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that this morning, and I don't think you and I have billed a single dollar that came out of a face-to-face conversation.
Not at all.
Or engagement.
Well, maybe prior to 2020.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's, I should have said that. Yeah, at least this year.
Yeah.
It's all been remote.
And for me, even 2020 as well. I actually had some projects that were fully remote.
Yeah, I remember before putting Uncommon together, I was pushing because my son was about to be born. I remember I was pushing for 4 days a week and 1 day remote at this gig that I was doing at.
Yeah.
And it was like completely out of this world ask. I was like, what do you mean we need you here? I was like, I was like, well, look, I can do 5 days. Like the fifth day can be there.
Yeah.
Or I can just do four. But I feel like I should be around the house more than,
Yeah, of course.
More than the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But at the time it was seen more as a, I need a long weekend. You know what I mean?
It's like a luxury.
Because you never thought as that day. It was kind of a strange concept, the idea of just being fully remote, especially if you're in the same city.
Yeah.
Because like logic says, quote unquote, logic says is that if you're in the same city as your client, then or you know, if you're contracting or whatever, that you're going to be in the same space. But
It's a standard, but that talks a lot about...
It was. Yes.
That talks a lot about adapting, you know?
Absolutely, man.
And it's pretty much adapt or die kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that's what the pandemic's taught a lot of people.
And you know these articles about the great resignation and people just leaving and everyone's reevaluating what they really want in life, personal level and a professional level. Yeah. And if those companies are not being empathetic with their employees...
Yeah.
They just, or even with the clients, the people are just leaving and they're just looking for something else.
Yeah, I mean the thing that blows my mind the most in that in this whole argument of, you know, why you should go back to the office is that right now all the tools, at least maybe I'm speaking from my own experience here, but like I feel like as designers we have all the tools that we need to be able to work 100% remote, and that's kind of the thing that we were saying before. We perhaps were already prepared for that. You know, even when we started setting up the agency, one of the things that we considered was, you know, not everyone will be in the same room. Like, for instance, if you have to run a workshop, you have to consider that sometimes you may have remote workshops as well. Yeah. And the tools are out there to you know, help you do that. Like, you know, Miro is a great example. I've been using Miro.
Yeah, give us an example of your process. What was something that you had to adapt?
Something that I mean...
Or rework in some shape or form due to this change.
Probably research was the biggest change.
Like user research?
Yeah, user research. Because, I mean...
How did you used to do it?
That was used to be a face-to-face kind of process.
Yeah.
And I used to recruit people and, you know, get a room to actually... You know, get them to. It was like
logistically speaking, it was more right. Like it was.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You had to organize. Yeah, you had to have a room. You have to have a room. You have to have the equipment. Jesus, I can't talk.
you need a sugar hit, man. Yeah. Come on, just get the lolly.
No, that's all right. But yeah, like it was a whole logistical thing, and then
people need to be available to commute.
Yeah, you know, for the participant.
Because a 60-minute session all of a sudden becomes 2 hours because it's 30 minutes for them together and then another 30 minutes to leave. So that's 2 hours out of their day.
Yeah, pretty much.
In their past, right?
Yeah. So for the participants, it was a commitment, a massive mm-hmm, commitment. Mm-hmm. Whereas right now, literally, if they don't show up to the session, you can always reschedule with them and it's a lot easier. You can always reschedule if it was a face-to-face, yeah. But I feel like it was just a much bigger process. And, you know, like that's kind of the things, that's one of the things that to me, like, you know, it's been really good. On the other end, though, on the flip side, doing it online, I think, you know, you have to sort of set up the session a lot better. And what I mean by that is that, you know, you used to be able to give someone a computer and kind of prepare everything for them.
And you know that those systems are ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. So if you like testing a prototype, mm-hmm. then you kind of have the prototype ready there for them to just click. And you almost did all the work ahead. Right
yeah.
now,
yeah, of course.
You know, you now have to create this prototype still, obviously. But then you have to find a way to give it to them, and so it's
accessible.
It's not a jarring experience, right? Especially if you're talking to somebody who's not tech savvy, right? So you know, you're trying to explain yeah. things like you have to. I don't know, man. Like I've had to literally say in the scripts when I actually write the scripts, I need to put this as part of the research plan. Things like the process to download a specific plugin yeah. that I need in order for the test to happen.
No, that's true, man, because there was recently a session where the person, and this is fine, like people don't have to be tech savvy all the time. But,
no.
But the person didn't know how to share the screen.
That's the thing,
and
yeah.
we needed them to share the screen because we were observing how they were interacting with this tool.
Excuse me.
And we spent maybe like, I don't know, 2 to 3 minutes, which is not much, you know, but it's something that you kind of think that people are going to know, you know, 18 months later after being working remotely most of the time. You assume that, or maybe I should have done that. But and then we had to explain this person, okay, there's a little icon here, blah, 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 and then you click on it. Can you see that?
Mm-hmm. You have to, that's the thing. So
it's a whole process, yeah.
That's one of the things that I've had to adapt my process to this whole idea of, okay, well, you know, now sessions being fully remote, you need to set the scene better. Mm-hmm. I think the other one is the workshops, like just trying to get people to join a session and feel like you're running a workshop and it's not just a meeting.
And there are a lot of distractions too when it comes to mm-hmm. running sessions like that. People, so not everyone shares their video.
Well, that's one thing. Actually, another thing is mm-hmm. the fact that, you know, it's a very, very, I've seen this a lot more these days. I think in the beginning, not so much, but now it's like.
What's that?
You see it in every meeting. Is someone basically connecting, and as they are, even if they have the video on, as they're in the meeting, they're typing and they're doing something else. Literally right now, like that's now the way of taking a meeting. You know, you are
so pretty much what I'm present, doing right now.
Yeah, you're present like 10%, and then the other 90% is doing something else.
Yeah.
And in the workshop, you need someone to be there fully, you know, giving you, giving you their
100%. That's challenging, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you can't tell them, hey, stop writing that email.
No, I mean, but they should. Yeah, well, you could. You actually set the scene before you start the workshop.
No, I know, but you're not the teacher in the classroom telling people off.
Like No, but that's the thing. Like, I feel like that's one of the things you need to adapt. Because if it's physical, you get people in the room and then mm-hmm. immediately they switch on workshop mode, right? So computers are out, phones are out, there are no distractions. Whereas if you're doing it remotely and all you have is a mirror board, you also need to be able to connect with them and make sure that they stay with you.
No, I totally agree with that, man. And so that's the research part of the thing. When it comes to design, I keep banging on about Figma and how good it is. And I think it's a great collaboration tool. And in the last year, they've really gone above and beyond when it comes to connection. Like they're bringing all these systems together when where you can chat, you can have a quick huddle over audio. People can see where you are, and we're just people, just the designers or not even non-designers, they all start collaborating.
Yeah.
And that's awesome because in the past it was Alia, here goes version 1.3 final.
Yeah.
And then you...
That's awful. Yeah. I remember that.
And then you return that one to me and it's like final again. And then we lose track of that, but now there's like one source of truth. And speaking of that, I'm going to keep saying that Notion is so good for us. It's been so good for us.
Mm-hmm.
We have everything there. If
it's been amazing.
If our Notion account ever gets hacked...
Oh, I lose my life. Everything is in there, actually.
Everything
even
is
my
in
personal information. I have a separate one with personal information.
Oh, same. Yeah.
I shouldn't have been saying this, actually.
Just change the email or password or something.
Yeah, it's crazy right now.
Not Alejandro from podcast at hotmail.com.
What do you used to have before Notion?
Maybe for work or personal?
Personal stuff.
Personal, probably pen and paper.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you're that old school, man?
Yeah,
I mean,
I never got into Evernote. I never got into...
Nah, me neither.
Maybe there was a little bit of Google.
Okay. Like
Google Drive or Docs and stuff.
I used to give everything notes, like as in the app.
I'm not an inferior... Sorry, an iPhone user, so...
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. No, it's good that you have that and I have Android because then we can...
Debate?
No, not debate. I mean, it's a never-ending debate. But we can experience the same platforms in different ways.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's a good way to
test things out. Yeah, we can also test our designs.
Yeah.
But man, like literally, like these tools are game changers because of the way in which you can sort of both collaborate. I think collaboration is the key, right?
Yeah, like when I was working in regional Victoria...
Yeah, tell us about that, man.
Well, there was the first time we went into lockdown in 2020, March 2020. Mm-hmm. We thought it was going to be a quick start. And then they announced it's going to be 6 weeks, right?
Yeah.
And my wife and I were like, should we just leave Melbourne, you know, work remotely? She was on maternity leave.
Yeah.
And so we did.
Okay.
And I was there for like 6 weeks to start with. And then came back to Melbourne on and off lockdowns. But then at the end of that year... I remember spending Christmas there in regional Victoria as well.
Mm-hmm.
Castlemaine, by the way, beautiful place. You've been to Castlemaine with us.
Really nice, yeah.
And wineries and all that. So
here in Victoria, by the way, for those who don't know.
Here in Victoria, that's right. And yeah, it was good. It was a bit isolating just to be working remotely like in the country.
That's nice, man.
Yeah, there's just a point where you need to interact more, right? But since you and I had all the systems in place, we were collaborating, we were pitching for ideas, we were putting things together.
Mm-hmm.
And but man, that doesn't compare to your experience working when you were on the road.
Yeah.
At least I had like a monitor, I had a chair, you know, like a desktop setup.
You had a desktop setup, but yeah, like the thing, I guess the point here is that again, like the whole pandemic and first off, yeah, the whole pandemic situation and then us having to go and work remotely sort of, I guess like, how would you say, got us in this mode of thinking, well, really there is no limit to where we can be and work.
Flick the switch, man.
Flick the switch. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was trying to find a way to say it. But effectively we were like in the same kind of mental model where we said, look, why don't we, this is, by the way, earlier this year, around May, actually.
Yeah.
Anna, my wife, and I thought, why don't we just travel? And this is a time, this was like in between lockdowns, so Melbourne was free at the time. And so...
Ish, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then you guys went and...
And so we...
I always like to be on the road and working on from there.
Yeah, we put everything in a van and then travel the East Coast. And basically in the van, I had my little setup. I didn't have a screen, but I had Wi-Fi connection using my
Your hotspot?
Yeah, my 5G hotspot. And then basically I was sort of, yeah, like moving around places. I would set up the table on the in the van and then just basically get my like laptop and then table. Just get working. Yeah. Yeah.
Like during the day it was your office?
While in the background.
You had like a cuckoo bar taking calls and...
Yeah. it was sometimes it was great. Sometimes I didn't even work inside the van, but I had like a outdoor setup, like just like setup. This camping table, you know, folding table. Yeah, yeah, I'll just sit outside and literally behind me, there's this beautiful lake. That was the kind of thing that to me, it was like, man, I wouldn't be able to do this if pandemic didn't happen. Possible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Look, it hasn't been ideal for everyone and I'm fully respectful of
the
situation. But for our industry, it's been kind of
good, man. Like it sounds bad.
Yeah,
but it
hasn't. It wasn't as affected as all the industries. No. Thankfully.
Yeah.
But now it seems like we are coming on the other side finally. Like everyone is. You know?
See, and that's the thing. Like that's why I've always been saying. Like again, like I'm respectful of everyone's personal experience, but when someone asks me how are you. Mm-hmm. How's this year been for you? I always say it's been really good and I'm very thankful for that because it has been like the fact that we were able to travel and then like work remotely, man, like that. And then, you know, you also we've been working together actually this whole time. We set up the agency, you know, we found clients, like it's been amazing, right?
Your experience was completely different to mine, right? Because I was at home, newborn, didn't have the space.
Yeah, true.
I didn't have the space to work.
Yeah.
And I think that that's one of the things why I started pushing you for a working space. You know, like should we go into an office? Should we do a bit of, you know, something? Should we try that out?
Yeah, you were always keen to go, and you were the one who planted the seed about going to a co-working space.
Yeah, man. So I think. I have a couple of notes that are, and full disclosure, Ali and I, the other day, we were talking about, should we have a bit of a debate, which one's better? So he doesn't really know what I'm going to say to stand my point. I don't know what he's going to say. We have a few talking points and then we'll see.
So what are you defending?
The office space.
What you're defending is you want to be in the space, like physically, and then I'm defending just being anywhere. Really?
You say in remote,
As long as you have Wi-Fi and a laptop,
you
can be anywhere and still deliver good value.
Correct. And let's have a little debate and see if there's still on coming after this.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right. I think the office space is good because of the community. So you come here here as in an office space and people know you, you know people, and then you... fist bump and whatever.
Of course.
Yeah, you know, COVID safe.
Yeah.
And then on Friday, there's always drinks, you know, or on a Thursday or whatever, you know, or you bump into someone on the hallway and then you go for a lunch.
Okay.
Lunchtime or as in you go and grab a coffee or whatever. So I think community is very important. Makes you feel part of something, especially when you are a contractor or a freelancer or if your HQ or the people that hire you are interstate or somewhere else overseas.
Yeah.
So that's my point. I think office is better.
Ding, ding. Should have done that in the beginning.
Yeah. And then just give yourself 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, I like that. See, personally, I think you can still build relationships even if you're not in the same space. You just have to put the effort. So yes, it's not the same and it never will be. But I think you can still be able to, you know, find... colleagues who, you know, may want to go for a chat outside, as in, you know, if you can't see them, but like, you know, maybe you want to spend a one-on-one just chatting about life, you can do so. That's one of the things that people I don't think fully understand about just being remotely is that you don't have to be on a Zoom call just to talk business. You can also talk personal stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I've done this where I just kind of, you know, we play games, literally. Like I used to be in this team prior to us starting, where we like every, I think it was like maybe every second day or something, we'll just play a game, the whole team. And it was all online.
What's it like?
Oh, it was like a Scrabble. Like it was like a Scrabble
kind of
game.
I wasn't sure if you were talking like Call of Duty and
or
Grand Theft Auto.
No, not that type of game. But like, just like an activity.
Something
that made people bond. And honestly, it was challenging because sometimes people just didn't have the energy to play or they just couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Couldn't care more.
That's whatever. The thing. Like sometimes, sometimes people feel like they have to be part of these online activities. Because, you know, that's the only interaction that they might have.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The other thing...
What's your second point?
My second point is, from a business point of view, if you have an office space, it looks more professional. Because a lot of people care about the optics, right? So, if I'm working from my kitchen table and then my background is, you know, a messy living room, or whatever, I don't know. It's different.
That's up to you, man.
That's true.
That's completely up to you.
But if I'm in an office and then you give them an address and they come here and then it's a concierge and you know the whole package. Then all of a sudden you can charge more.
Yeah, but is that a facade, really? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what if you have
it's
all of
service.
That and then what if you had all of that and then it turns out to be. Is really bad service, you know? Like, I'd rather be myself and be honest. And, you know, I agree. It's not like behind me.
So where would you have that meeting?
The house is falling apart or wherever I am, it's falling apart. Like, I always try where I can, by the way, like as much as possible, try to have good presentation. Even when I was in the van, like I would make sure that my background, so the van had curtains. I would always close the curtains and sit in a position where you could only see the curtains at the back.
Yeah.
So you couldn't see anything happening outside of the van or anything like that. It was always like, you know, trying to keep the area as clean and organized as possible. Because, you know, I was also doing research. So I was actually talking to
Would you, if you, if you were to hire a designer.
Yeah.
You were the client.
Mm-hmm.
And you had budget.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Would you hire the guy in the van or would you hire the guy in the office?
If I am who? Like,
you're the client.
I'm the client. Depends, man. No, seriously.
Would you hire yourself? Depends.
Yeah, big time. I would hire someone who's traveling, especially if the project needs somebody who is, let's say that I'm building a travel website. That's a terrible example, but, you know, and very specific. I would much rather hire the guy who's traveling because he's going to be passionate about it.
Well, yeah, in that case.
Yeah. Well, but that's a thing, right?
What if the guy keeps traveling and he never comes back to you or he loses? You know there's going to be...
But
sometimes he's going to go into dark mode and he's just going to lose reception and...
Yeah, well, that happened to me sometimes and you just kind of have to be flexible.
As a client, you have to be flexible. Okay. I think collaboration is very important. So you and I are sitting right now in front of each other.
Yeah.
And we are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also in the past, we've worked together, collaborating. As a matter of fact, that's how we met.
So what you're defending here is that collaboration happens better
when
you're face-to-face?
Yeah.
Okay.
So and you and I met at an office where we were sitting next to each other. And I don't think we would have had that interaction if it wasn't because we were in the same room.
Okay. That I can give you. That's true. You're not going to be able to find the same level of connection if it's all online. I get that. But in saying that, if collaboration is what I was saying before, like collaboration can still happen because the tools are out there to be able to, you know, help that be more of a smooth process, you know? So you just need to set the scene better, I think. So there's two parts to this, like collaboration in the context of a workshop, for example, absolutely can happen remotely, no problem. You just need to set the scene. You need to set expectations.
Mm-hmm.
You need to tell people also what the session's about. Don't expect them to just show up and be like, hey, we're going to run a workshop, because they're probably going to be like, what? I didn't even know how.
Well, you would still do that if it was in person, right?
Yeah, but with the online, you kind of have to prepare them a lot more. Like things like what I was saying before, just make sure you put your phone aside. We're going to spend 30
but all
minutes.
All that is scripted. What about spontaneous collaboration? That I just tap you on the shoulder. It's like, hey, Elliot, check this out.
Now that.
And then we're jamming.
Yeah, that's different. That's very different, actually. So there's spontaneous collaboration, you know.
You still have to make an effort online.
Yeah, you still have to.
I think they're still working on that.
Yeah, well, there's no
tools. I mean, there's Slack.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a tap on the shoulder. It'd be cool, though, if it was some kind of feature that was called tap on the shoulder. And it's just this kind of, I don't know, like quick, hey, dude, do you have 5 minutes or something like that?
But then you have a device on your shoulder that vibrates.
Man, let's build that. That's a brilliant idea.
Have you seen those headphones that have like a chest device?
Oh, yeah.
You've seen them?
Yeah.
And then they vibrate according to the music and it's like you're there.
Yeah.
And they use them for gaming as well.
Yeah, I've seen, that's where I've seen
I want to try them on.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm going to buy them. I'm just saying like I'm going to try them on. Like I really like the experience of like movies. I love going to the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Big screen, dark room, speakers up your bum if you want to. Like they're just everywhere.
Palomitas,
brother. Yeah. You know? In Mexico, they have
a different experience for
In Mexico, they have they sell them with chili.
Ah, really? Yeah. Like palomitas.
Palomitas, yeah. Popcorn.
Popcorn, yeah.
Yeah, you go into the cinema and then you have like this variety.
Yeah,
and you can even do half and half.
I'm not sure why I'm surprised. Like you guys put chili on everything.
You can buy nachos and then take them into the cinema.
Oh yeah, that happens everywhere.
With fresh.
Even in Venezuela,
with fresh Mexican salsa, like tomato, onion, jalapenos, as much as you want. Nachos in the cinema, and that's I miss that. It's so good.
You know what you can take into Venezuela cinemas? Tequeños.
No way.
Yeah, bro. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Just a little fact there for
wow.
you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised the cinemas in Venezuela to start.
When you go to Venezuela,
like the black and white with Charles Chaplin is playing there.
When we go, I'll take you to one of the cinemas and you'll experience what it's like
to
eat tequeños while you're watching a movie.
Yeah.
Because if you haven't done that, my friend, you're missing out. Anyway, next point.
I
want this debate to continue.
Well, maybe you have the next one.
Mine is that is obviously more cost effective to be remote. Yeah, to work from wherever because you're not paying rent, like as in office rent. Mm-hmm. You're not paying for even if you don't want, you don't have to commute, so you save that money. Even though you know, like depending on your situation, but I think it's in general if you make the math.
I think you're right there. My point of view on that one is that there are alternatives to cost effectiveness.
Yeah.
And one of them, the obvious one is for an office space is to go into a co-working space.
So not have like the actual office, but instead just have memberships in a co-working space.
Correct. And the thing with that is that you have access to if the company it's a structure that way, not our company, but you know, the co-working space that you join, they might have all the offices throughout the city, throughout the country even, or the big ones like WeWork throughout the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you will benefit if you were traveling in your example.
Mm-hmm.
You will benefit from joining a co-working space because, being in a van... I mean, you're going to tell me that you didn't go into a cafe or like a co-working space when you're traveling?
A couple of times I ended up going to...
Yeah, I did my research, man. So don't come here and tell me that...
No, look,
You were working from a lake the whole time.
Not the whole time.
From a kayak.
I didn't say that. I mean, I was doing it a few times.
You were not saying that.
I was doing it a few times, yes.
Yeah.
I went to a couple of libraries, actually, and that was awesome. But again, like it was cost effective because I didn't pay a cent be in the library. But I guess you're right.
Like, how did you beat the system to go into a co-working space when you were traveling? Do you have to pay for the day?
No, they gave me a free trial. I just wanted to try it out. And I was there. I was in that city for...
Where was that?
This is in Gold Coast.
In the Gold Coast.
Yeah. Amazing co-working space, by the way. It was really nice.
Beach.
No, not this one, which was nice because it gave me a different perspective of Gold Coast. I thought everyone in Gold Coast was just all about, you know, go and surf.
Yeah.
Go surfing and you know, just being outdoors. And there's a whole, like, startup community over there. And so, yeah, I went to this co-working space. It was really cool.
Isn't it really cool when you go to these places and there's a completely different lifestyle that you like and then you just want to do that after the trip?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, I'm moving there.
That happens to me every time I go somewhere new.
I'm moving there tomorrow morning.
there's only so many places that I've been that I haven't had that feeling. But everywhere else, I'm always
It's not bad reputation. It just doesn't fit your expectations.
Sydney? Yeah.
Oh, but nobody likes Sydney, man.
Even the first time I went, I was like, oh, I couldn't live
I'm joking. There. All my love to the Sydney people.
But yeah, every like Gold Coast,
capital,
I had that feeling.
Australia's capital. Sydney.
Yeah. But yeah, man. Anyway, cost effective.
Cost effective.
Who gets this one? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a tricky one. Depends. I think it depends.
And should we do one more? I think I see.
Ding, ding, ding. What's the next one?
Well, here I go. I think having the office means that you have a dedicated space for work only.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no laundry.
Yeah.
There's no.
No birds unless, chirping outside the van.
I mean, yeah. Unless you have Consuelo. You know, from Family Guy. Do you know Consuela?
I haven't seen Family Guy, but
well, she's a Mexican immigrant who cleans a house.
I figured, yeah.
And she's always like, no, no, no. And it's like, Consuela, can you? No, no, I clean. It's hilarious. And shout out to Consuela. So I mean, if I'm working from home, there's like at least one or two loads of washing happening in the background. There's the kitchen that has to be clean, or at least I get to lunchtime and I go downstairs and I clean it up.
Yeah, you and a few million people.
Yeah, man. And that takes time, you know?
Yeah.
And it kind of breaks the flow. I think the solution to that is to make it part of your routine.
Mm-hmm.
But still, when I come to work, to the office, obviously I don't do that. And it's just about work.
Yeah, but the thing you got to consider as well is like if you are, this is specifically to working from home, is you can make your own routine, you can make your own space, and then sort of organize your day in a way that you start the morning a bit earlier perhaps. If you've got stuff to do in the house, you can get it done in the morning and then you focus on the work.
Mm-hmm.
Like even when we were traveling, we still had a routine, right? Like some days we had to do washing and so we would go and do the washing and like just focus on that.
Yeah.
And then we also continue to cook, like we were cooking in the van. So basically,
just make it part of a routine.
Exactly. I'm kind of cautious of saying this because Anna was doing a lot of the cooking a lot of the times, you know. But maybe
you were doing a lot of work.
I was doing the work. I was cleaning the van as well. Like maybe I had to not a big space.
Playing some reggaeton in the background.
You had to. Yeah, that's
cumbia.
While we clean. That's it. We had to keep the space organized, especially because it was small. And you just made it part of your day.
Yeah, it can become really messy.
Yeah, exactly.
Even when you go on a road trip, like a two-hour road trip, at the end of the trip, you look at the car and just like, wraps everywhere.
It's just messy.
It's just messy. And you stop at Macca's and then...
Yeah. And especially because you're there, you're living there and working there, you want to keep it clean. So
you haven't convinced me with that argument of you cleaning, man. So
no,
I think I win that one.
No, let me get this point right. So yeah, because you're basically saying you have one space to only
dedicated
work.
Yeah.
I actually agree with that. Yes, when you get out of the house or you go somewhere and you're in the office,
that's what I'm saying.
Just working. But it's just that at the same time, in saying that, I've known a lot of people who go to the office and they don't work. They're on Facebook, they get distracted, they go for 10 coffees a day just
ping
so that they
table
can ping pong table.
Hot.
That's it. And so it's
the darts.
Like, is it really just about work? You know what I mean? Like, I think it's about you and how well you concentrate.
Yeah, it comes down to the personal level.
And how productive you are.
Okay, well, we have some strong arguments there. I feel like we I feel like we can still carry on with Uncommon, man. I'm not too that wasn't too much friction there. But do we have a winner?
I mean, I think no is the short answer. Maybe a hybrid is how I think we're feeling about this whole situation on whether we should we have an office? Should we stay remote?
I think it's good to have the option.
Both.
You know, yeah, like sometimes, I mean, that's probably not cost effective, but you're also not in this, you have to see that you're not in the office for the desk and the chair.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see the added value to that, as well as working from home. You're not at home, excuse me, you're not at home because of the community, right? Because obviously that doesn't exist there. You're at home because there are other things that you might need to do that day. So, man, I think that's the
verdict.
I think so. And
a hybrid.
And yeah. the million pesos question, or the Bitcoin, the one Bitcoin question is, do you think this is a new way of working moving forward? What's your personal and professional point of view from your experience?
Not every industry, obviously. So you have to consider that. You know, if you work in hospitality, probably not. But in saying that, for companies who are able to deal online and to get people, like we're saying the whole episode, to work with the tools that enable them to, you know, be wherever. Yes, I think so. I think it's a way moving forward. And it should be embraced as much as possible.
I think so too.
I mean, it's easier for me to say it because I've been doing it. I find it's like, you know, normal now.
Well, I think only time will tell, man.
Absolutely. But just imagine this. Like, imagine tell like me. We...
Let me close my eyes.
Okay, imagine this. Like, you go to Mexico mm-hmm. and you're living in Mexico.
Where in Mexico? Oh, I'm living in Mexico.
You're living in Mexico, okay. Yeah. Wherever. Just pick a city, whatever place you want to live in Mexico.
Cause all right, I'm there.
You know Mexico better than me.
Talking Spanish because I'm in Mexico already. I forgot English.
Well, that's the thing, right? Imagine. Imagínate.
Imagínate.
You're in Mexico and I'm here and we're still working. That's the type of thing that
if I go back live in Mexico, I'm going to go full Mexican.
I know you will. And that's fine. Just
you're going to be whistling like cucaracha around the house, you know?
I'll be like full on business mode talking English and you'll be like, what? Sorry, ¿qué
dijiste, ¿qué? Papito?
That's it.
No, Mr. Superman, no. That's enough. Man, I'm gonna play you the clip after this.
I have to say that. But I think, yeah, like, no verdict except that this is the wrap of the first season.
Well, yeah, we should probably call it that.
What's the verdict of the season, actually? Why don't we talk about what we learned this season?
Okay.
Anything in particular you learn?
Yes. Okay. I learned to be comfortable in front of the mic, and it's not going to be perfect. You know, make mistakes.
Now this, I mean...
Factual mistakes, grammatical mistakes.
Yes. Those we made a lot.
Yeah. So you got to be comfortable with that.
Right? Yeah, I suppose.
And that's fine, man. Like, nobody's perfect. Thanks to you, I learned what plastification means.
Ah, true. Classic. Yeah. If you don't know what plastification means, look it up or watch the, or listen. Watch eventually. Maybe we will make this podcast a video as well. But for now, just listen to one of the episodes.
I think it's the second one.
Yeah. The story of Ali, where I talk about my plastification.
But I think more importantly, I still like you after a whole season, man.
Oh, that's good, man. That's very important.
I learned that. I was like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to come out of this one.
That's good.
What about you, man?
What did I learn this season? Well, I just learned today that we're not sure whether we'll have an office or be remote. Like, I think a hybrid, and I quite like that. I also learned that this is only the beginning for Uncommon. Like, there's still a long way to go, and I'm excited.
Yeah.
And I also learned that your dad owns a Mexican restaurant, which to me was a highlight of this season.
Los Pollos Hermanos.
By the way, you can listen to Oli's story in the first episode.
Episodio número uno.
That's it. And then listen to his story.
Well, I think that's good, man. Oh, actually, one more thing before we go. There is a bonus episode after this one.
Ooh.
So make sure you dust off those Spanish notes from uni. It's going to be a fun one.
We're going to be speaking español.
Adios for now and see you on the next one.